Hi everyone, welcome back to the OrthoBullets podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of anterolateral bowing and congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia found under the pediatrics section at orthobullets.com. Let's begin with a quick summary. Anterolateral bowing and congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia are congenital conditions most commonly associated with neurofibromatosis type 1 that present with the bowing deformity of the tibia. Diagnosis is confirmed with radiographs of the tibia. Treatment is non-operative with bracing for patients who are weight-bearing without pseudoarthrosis or fracture. Surgical correction is indicated in the presence of pseudoarthrosis or fracture. Now let's get into the episode. In terms of the epidemiology, remember that this is extremely rare and demonstrates an incidence of 1 in 140,000 to 190,000. Risk factors include that up to 55% are associated with neurofibromatosis type 1 and 15% are associated with fibrous dysplasia. In terms of the pathophysiology, remember that pseudoarthrosis is not congenital, but it in fact develops postnatally due to fracture non-union. There are three types of tibial bowing that exist in children: anterolateral bowing, posteromedial bowing, and anteromedial bowing. Anterolateral bowing is a continuum of disease that can be divided into anterolateral bowing of the tibia and congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia. Conditions that are associated include neurofibromatosis type 1, which is found in 50 to 55% of patients with anterolateral bowing, and remember that only 6 to 10% of patients with neurofibromatosis will have anterolateral tibial bowing. In terms of the classification, remember that numerous classification systems have been proposed, such as Boyd, Anderson, and Crawford. However, none of them guide management or are predictive of outcome. Two classification criteria have been proposed to guide treatment: the presence or absence of fracture, and the age at which fracture occurs, with early onset being less than 4 years old and late onset being after 4 years old. Moving on to the presentation. Remember that the majority of patients will present with bowing in the first year of life. On exam, one may note a deformity, and one should perform a careful skin exam for Café au lait spots and other signs of neurofibromatosis. In terms of treatment, remember that the lesion does not self-resolve, and once fracture occurs, there is low likelihood of spontaneous resolution. Non-operative options include bracing in a clamshell orthosis or patellar tendon-bearing orthosis. This is indicated in children of ambulatory age who are weight-bearing, and if there is bowing without pseudoarthrosis or fracture, remember that spontaneous remodeling is still not expected. The goal is to prevent further bowing and fractures, and osteotomy for bowing alone is contraindicated. In terms of the technique, remember that this is maintained until skeletal maturity. Operative options include surgical fixation. This is indicated for bowing with pseudoarthrosis or fracture. Another option is amputation. This is typically indicated after multiple failed surgical attempts at union, if there is a severe limb length discrepancy, or if there is dysfunctional angular deformity. The specific methods involve the Syme or Boyd amputation. Now let's discuss the techniques for surgical fixation and amputation in more detail. For surgical fixation, the goals are resection of the pseudoarthrosis to grossly normal bone, correction of alignment, bone grafting and stabilization of the remaining segments, and intramedullary splinting of the bone is desired. The specific technique for intramedullary nailing with bone grafting involves resection of the pseudoarthrosis, tibial shortening, fixation with intramedullary rod, and bone graft. For a free vascularized fibular graft, referred to as the Farmer's procedure, the contralateral fibula is used, as the ipsilateral is involved in pseudoarthrosis. One can also utilize Elizarov or circular frame fixation with lengthening or bone transport. For amputation, an ankle disarticulation, such as with the Boyd or Syme amputation, is preferred over resection at the pseudoarthrosis site, and the persistent motion at the pseudoarthrosis site is managed by the prosthetic socket. Complications related to anterolateral bowing and congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia include a recurrent fracture, which is seen in 50% or more of patients even after initial union. Other complications include a valgus deformity, a limb length discrepancy at skeletal maturity, which averages about 5 centimeters, and remember that no treatment is considered to produce results in a predictable and acceptable fashion. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to anterolateral bowing and congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 5-month-old child was referred for evaluation of right lower extremity bowing. The child's developmental history is normal, and there is no pain or history of trauma. an APN lateral radiograph of the lower extremities is obtained, which demonstrates anterolateral bowing of the tibia with intramedullary sclerosis at the site of deformity. What is the natural progression of this condition? And the answer choices are: choice 1, spontaneous resolution of the bowing by age 2 years without residual deformity. Choice 2, spontaneous improvement or resolution of the bowing with the resulting limb length inequality at maturity. Choice 3, no change in the condition over time. Choice 4, spontaneous fracture in the area of bowing. Or choice 5, spread of the abnormal bone until the entire tibia is involved. The best answer to this question is choice 4, spontaneous fracture in the area of the bowing. The patient has anterolateral bowing of the tibia with intramedullary sclerosis at the site of the deformity. This is a prefractured stage of congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia, and the child is at risk for spontaneous fracture and non-union. A clamshell orthosis may prevent or delay fracture. Treatment of established non-union ranges from bone grafting and intramedullary nailing to Alizaroff treatment, vascularized fibula bone grafting, or amputation. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 12-year-old boy with a family history of neurofibromatosis has anterolateral bowing of the left tibia. He has no pain and is ambulatory. Radiographs demonstrate a narrowed medullary canal but intact cortices. Treatment should consist of which of the following? And the answer choices are: choice 1, ankle foot orthosis with an anterior shell. Choice 2, vascularized fibular graft. Choice 3, intramedullary nailing of the left tibia. Choice 4, amputation. Or choice 5, physical therapy. The best answer to this question is choice 1, ankle foot orthosis with anterior shell. Anterolateral bowing of the tibia is associated with confirmed neurofibromatosis in approximately 50% of patients. Although the risk of fracture with the development of pseudoarthrosis exists, the initial treatment consists of bracing through maturity. That's all for this review about anterolateral bowing and congenital pseudoarthrosis of the tibia. We hope that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session from OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on orthobullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the OrthoBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the OrthoBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.